Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. Thanks for joining us today. This is episode 430, and we are covering the most interesting stuff that hit the front page yesterday, Wednesday, June 17th, 2026.
We have a really packed show today. We are going to talk about Epic Games dropping a massive new open source project, why consumers are officially sick of hearing the word AI from brands, a new open weights AI model that is shaking up the leaderboards, and a pretty sobering look at the current state of science funding in the US, plus a hilarious but painful story about trying to rescue childhood photos from Photo Bucket.
Let us kick things off with that Epic Games story. The post is titled Lore, Open Source Version Control System Designed for Scalability, and it pulled in over 1,000 points. Epic Games, the makers of Unreal Engine and Fortnite, have essentially built a next-generation version control system and open-sourced it under an MIT license.
Right, and if you are a web or back-end developer, your first thought might be, why on earth do we need another version control system? We already have Git. But as the Hacker News comments quickly pointed out, if you have ever worked in game development, you know exactly why this exists. Git is fantastic for text-based code, but it absolutely falls apart when you start throwing massive binary assets at it.
Exactly. We are talking about high-resolution textures, 3D models, massive audio files. A commenter named Throw2IH020 gives some great context here. They pointed out that in game dev, you often need exclusive locks on files. If two artists are editing the same 3D model asynchronously, there is no sane way to merge those edits like you would with lines of code.
For years, the industry standard for this has been a proprietary system called Perforce, and while people use it, it is notorious for needing dedicated tools engineers just to keep it running smoothly. Epic building Lore is a direct challenge to Perforce. Lore uses a centralized, content-addressed system with Merkle trees, and it allows for sparse workspaces, meaning you only download the massive files you actually need right now.
But it's not just about file sizes. A commenter named Lugos Fergus brought up another huge blind spot for Git, which is permissions. In game development, or really any highly secretive corporate environment, you might have proprietary work that only people under specific NDAs can see. With Perforce, you can restrict access directory by directory. Git is basically all or nothing.
That sparked a fascinating tangent in the comments. Someone shared a story about working at a bank on code related to Apple Pay before it was announced. The lawyers were terrified of leaks, so they had to physically split the Git repository in half just to protect the NDA code.
Which led to a classic Hacker News history lesson about Apple and NDAs. Someone brought up the time the CEO of ATI Graphics Cards casually mentioned in a press release that their chips would be in upcoming unannounced Mac hardware. Steve Jobs was so furious, he pulled all ATI hardware from the demo units, canceled their joint presentation, and basically never partnered with ATI again. It just goes to show why granular repository permissions are actually a big deal in the corporate world.
Transitioning from massive corporate repositories to something a bit more personal, let us talk about the post titled, Want Your Images Back? That will be $5. This was a personal blog post by a developer named Lucher that got over 600 points.
This story is so relatable and frustrating. The author was doing some digital spring cleaning, recovering old accounts, and remembered they used to upload childhood screenshots and forum signatures to Photo Bucket back in the day. So they go to log in, hoping for a wave of nostalgia, and they are hit with a paywall.
And not just a one-time fee. Photo Bucket wanted a $5 monthly subscription just to access the old images. The author was furious at the corporate greed, but eventually caved, thinking they would just pay the $5, download their childhood memories, and cancel immediately.
But here's the kicker. They pay the money, get into the account, and the bucket is completely empty. They had apparently used a different account as a kid, but Photo Bucket still gladly took the $5 subscription fee for an empty profile.
The comments on this one were a mix of sympathy and dark predictions for the future. A commenter named Okram Sivikram mentioned they got an account deletion email from Photo Bucket and managed to download their data for free during the closure process, so there might be workarounds. But the most interesting discussion was about where this hostage data model is heading.
Yeah, someone made a chilling prediction. They said, imagine in the future when you try to cancel an AI subscription, the company threatens that unless you pay a fee to fully delete your anonymized chats, they will be made public as paid training data.
Which sounds like a dystopian sci-fi plot, but commenters pointed out that tech companies have not exactly earned our trust lately.
someone brought up Meta scraping terabytes of pirated books for their LLMs, and another mentioned the recent 23andMe bankruptcy, where their massive DNA database was sold off. When a company goes under or gets desperate, those privacy promises in the terms of service suddenly look very fragile.
Speaking of AI and consumer trust, our next story is a piece of research from WordPress VIP titled 60% of US consumers say AI and brand messaging is a turnoff. This got over 1,000 points and really struck a chord with the community.
The data in this report is fascinating. It says that 74% of consumers feel the internet is less human than it was 10 years ago, and they've coined this term bot fatigue. Apparently, it takes an average of just 40 minutes of browsing before consumers start feeling like their interactions are entirely synthetic.
And the most damning stat is that 61% of consumers cannot name a single brand that is using AI well in its messaging. Companies have spent the last 2 years and millions of dollars chasing AI visibility, trying to get cited by ChatGPT and Perplexity, but to the actual end user, slapping the word AI on your product is now an active turnoff.
It is the classic hype cycle backlash. The report argues that brands need to build for two audiences at once. You need the structured data so the AI engines can find and cite you, but when the human actually arrives at your website, they need a reason to stay. They need interactive, dynamic experiences that a flat AI summary just cannot give them.
The comments on Hacker News were basically a collective nodding of heads. We are all feeling the fatigue. When every customer service chat, every search result, and every product description feels like it was generated by a prompt, the premium on actual authentic human connection goes through the roof.
But while consumers might be tired of the marketing hype, the actual technology is still moving at a breakneck pace. That brings us to our fourth story. GLM 5.2 is the new leading open weights model on artificial analysis.
For those tracking the AI leaderboards, this is a big deal. ZAI, a Chinese AI lab, just released GLM 5.2. It is scoring a 51 on the Artificial Analysis Intelligence Index, which puts it ahead of other heavyweights like Minimax and DeepSeek V4 Pro. What is really impressive is its performance on real-world agentic tasks. It is basically matching the performance of proprietary models like OpenAI's GPT 5.5 and Anthropic's Claude Fable 5.
And it is an open weights model with an MIT license, which is huge. It has 744 billion total parameters, but uses a mixture of experts' architecture, so only 40 billion are active at any time. It also boasts a 1 million token context window.
But there is a catch, and the Hacker News comments really dug into this. While the intelligence is high, the reasoning efficiency is not quite there yet. A user named Tiberium ran a test asking GLM 5.2 to write a simple math evaluator library in NIM, which is maybe 500 lines of code. The model spent over 15 minutes reasoning and burned through 45,000 tokens before it even started writing the first file.
Right. Compared to GPT 5.5, which might use 16,000 tokens for the same task, GLM 5.2 is very verbose in its thinking phase. Another commenter named BenjiRow29 noted that the thinking chain looks suspiciously similar to Anthropic's Opus 4.8. They joked that it is basically Opus's little brother at a fraction of the cost.
That sparked a whole debate about distillation. Are these models actually innovating, or are they just training on the outputs and reasoning traces of the frontier proprietary models? Some commenters argued that the Chinese labs are just unethically scraping data, while others pointed out that the Western labs scraped the entire copyrighted internet to build their models in the first place. So it is a bit of a pot calling the kettle black situation.
There was also a really fun subthread about hardware. A user named Matthias Morera said they cannot wait until we can run these models on consumer hardware. Someone else pointed out that right now, running a 744 billion parameter model requires something like 8 96 gigabyte Blackwell GPUs, which is around $150,000. So we're still a few years away from running this on a MacBook, but the dream is alive.
Let us move on to our final and probably most impactful story of the day. It's an article from Scientific American titled US Science is in Chaos. It got nearly 800 points and generated over 900 very passionate comments.
The article details a massive crisis currently unfolding in the American scientific community. It opens with the story of Christopher Reynolds, an astronomer at the University of Maryland, who spent 9 years working on a billion-dollar space telescope project called AXIS. They had a $5 million grant from NASA to refine their X-ray mirror technology.
Then the new Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, pushed NASA into offering broad buyouts. NASA lost a fifth of its workforce in weeks. Reynolds lost his lead engineers and project managers.
Then the budget requests zeroed out their funding. They tried to restructure, but a government shutdown froze everything. In the end, the decade-long Access project was just starved to death.
And it is not just NASA. The article reports that thousands of federal grants from the National Science Foundation and the National Institutes of Health have been frozen or canceled. The NIH used to issue around 850 funding opportunities a year. By mid-March of 2026, they had sent out just 14.
On top of the financial cuts, there is a heavy political layer. The article talks about political operatives at the NIH passing around lists of banned words. Grants are being rejected or censored if they mention things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, or structural racism, even when researching the social determinants of health.
The Hacker News comments on this were heartbreaking. A user named Dwa3592 shared that their wife operates a highly sophisticated optical trap microscope for studying DNA. There are maybe 2,000 people in the world with her skill set. But because of the funding chaos, she has spent the last year crying over the state of research, and they are now planning to move out of the country entirely.
Other commenters suggested she look into private biotech startups, but then actual computational biologists chimed in to say the private sector is brutal right now too. High interest rates have dried up biotech venture capital, and there is a huge passion tax where salaries are depressed because so many desperate academics are flooding the job market.
There was a really interesting discussion about the culture clash between academia and industry. A commenter named Godelsky talked about moving to industry and being told they just need things to work, meaning they value moving fast and hitting buzzwords over deep, rigorous thinking. It really highlights how different the incentives are, and why losing basic blue-sky government research is so dangerous for long-term innovation.
Exactly. The private sector is great at commercializing technology, but it rarely funds the foundational, decade-long research that leads to entirely new fields. If the U.S. brain drain continues and scientists flee to other countries or drop out of the field entirely, we are going to feel the impact of this for generations.
It is definitely a story we will be keeping a close eye on as the ripple effects continue through the tech and science worlds.
Well, that is going to do it for today's episode of HN Pod. We covered a lot of ground today, from game dev version control and photo hosting hostage situations, to AI model benchmarks and the crisis in US science.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends and colleagues. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Until then, I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Have a great day and happy hacking.